Our text this evening comes from Psalm 23. I invite you to turn there with me. Psalm 23. Let's read together the Word of God. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is the word of our God, the word of our shepherd, the one who has spoken it, that we might know his love for us, that we might know his care for us, and how it is that he cares for us. Let us hear it, let us receive it, and let us rejoice in it as those who long to see and follow their shepherd. Let's pray and ask our Lord's blessing on his word this evening. Our Lord Jesus, you are indeed our shepherd. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that we have heard your voice, that you have called your sheep out, and that you have called them forth from the world to follow you. Now, this is our desire tonight, that we would hear your voice from your word, and that we would hear it with power. Now, that same voice that spoke with authority and power, that showed that power by calling Lazarus from the dead, now, that same voice by the power of the Spirit has quickened us. And we pray that tonight, that by that same Spirit, you would continue your work in us, that we might all the more and all the better follow you. Amen. There are some passages of Scripture that are universal in their recognition, and this would be one of them. We might think of verses, particular verses, maybe John 3:16 or others like that, that even those who don't know the Bible at all, they know those passages of Scripture. This passage is one of those. And even as we read it and hear it, for most of us, for many of us, it's probably been a passage of Scripture that we've heard much of our lives, especially if you've grown up in church, grown up hearing the Word of God, perhaps even memorizing it at an early age. The many hymns that we have that draw on this psalm shows how much Christians have loved it. You just think through the many hymns, even in the Trinity hymnal, that draw on the imagery of Psalm 23, that pick up these themes of Christ the shepherd and we his sheep. And this shows how much we have, as Christians, as the church, down through time and space, how we have delighted in meditating upon the truths that it brings before us. The psalm is a comfort to us because it reminds us who our shepherd is. It reminds us of his care for us. Now, the truth is that sheep need a shepherd. You think about the many times in the Scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament, where people who lack spiritual direction, they are described as sheep without a shepherd. It immediately resonates with us, the kind of the lack of direction that is present in their lives. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need to be led. They need to be fed, and they need to be put to bed. They need rest. And these are things that the shepherd does for his sheep. Psalm 23 calls us to confidently place our trust in Christ, placing our trust in his shepherding in particular, his shepherding of his flock, which is the church. It's a psalm of David. We see that there in the heading. And the theme of confidence is very evident as we read through the psalm. We see confidence in God's provision there in verses 1 through 3. We see confidence in God's mercy in verse 4. Confidence in God's presence in verses 5 and 6. The theme of confidence. This is something that we'll consider as we move through this psalm. Our text this evening, though, is verse 1. Just picking up the thought, the truth, the doctrine there. In the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As we think about Psalm 23, the scene is remarkably different from that of the previous psalm. You probably would be hard-pressed to find two psalms that are so different in their first lines. Psalm 22 begins with a cry of suffering, a cry of affliction. And yet, here, the scene is very different. It's comfort. Now, these things are not so opposed to one another that they don't exist together quite often in our lives. We do have seasons of sorrow, seasons of suffering, and we have seasons of joy as Christians. But quite often these things go hand in hand, do they not? Because it is true that it is often in those times of affliction, in times of trial, times of testing, it is often in times of suffering that we know most the comfort that comes from our Lord. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is one who has sheep in his care. Their well-being depends upon his care for them. Shepherds lead their sheep to food and water. They protect them from danger. They nurse them to health when they are sick, when they are injured. And no doubt David had many times done these very things as he's reflecting upon the wonderful truths of the Lord's shepherding of his own soul. We see how he's drawing on things from nature, things from his own life, things from his own experience, bringing them into view in a very meaningful and deep way. To be a shepherd takes courage. We might think of David fighting off a lion or a bear when they've come to steal away the sheep. It's not a calling that is for the faint of heart. It requires devotion. You can't simply leave the sheep when the weather's bad. If it's cold outside, if it's miserable conditions, if it's dangerous, it requires devotion. To be a shepherd requires wisdom. It takes wisdom to know the state of the flock, both the individual sheep and the flock as a whole, in order to properly care for them. Now, just thinking through these things, we see why these truths resonate so much with us. Because the image of a shepherd translates so easily from the natural world to the spiritual world. Now, the Bible repeatedly uses shepherding language to speak of spiritual leaders, to speak of those who have the care of souls entrusted to them, those who are responsible to speak the word of God. We might think of David himself. He was not only a shepherd boy who kept the sheep, but he was also a shepherd over Israel, a prophet and a prince. According to 2 Samuel 5 in verse 2, he was one who was appointed by God to be a shepherd over Israel. Now, the Bible uses this same language of shepherding to describe God's care for his people. For example, Jacob on his deathbed said, "God has been my shepherd all my life. God has shepherded me. He has cared for me as a shepherd does the sheep." It's not only God's care in a general way, but even more specifically, it's God's redemptive work that is often expressed in this language of shepherding, this imagery of the shepherd and the sheep. Here we might think of God leading Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness, providing them with bread from heaven and water from the rock. As he does these things, he's caring for them. He's doing the work of a shepherd. He's shepherding them out of Egypt and through the wilderness into the promised land. In fact, in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7, Moses says to Israel, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. You have lacked nothing. That's the same language that we find here in Psalm 23. I shall not want, or I shall have no lack. Moses says, God has shepherded you for 40 years. You have lacked nothing. As God would deal with his people, as the word of God comes through the prophets, we might think of Ezekiel chapter 34, where God condemns the unfaithfulness of Israel's shepherds as a way of showing his own faithfulness. If you'll turn to Ezekiel 34, I want to read a portion of this passage as we think about God's shepherding of his people. We think about God's redemptive work. We think about what it means to be a faithful shepherd. God is the true shepherd, and that's what he declares through the prophet Ezekiel here in this text. Let's just look at verses 2 through 4, where God condemns the false shepherds of Israel. Picking up there in the middle of verse 2, he says, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." And what is the result? They are scattered because there is no faithful shepherd. But if you look down a little further, verse number 12, we see God's intent. We see God's faithfulness. As we read these verses, you can hear Psalm 23. "As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." What does it mean to be a faithful shepherd? We see God declare his own character and what he will do in gathering his sheep from those countries to which they have been scattered. This is the work of redemption. This is what is being anticipated here is in the coming of Christ. If we read down just a little further, verse 23, God has declared that he will be the true shepherd. But who is the shepherd? "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." And he goes on to speak of the covenant of peace and the blessings that would flow from that covenant as the son of David, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is set up as the shepherd over God's people. You see, the Bible pushes us away from a bare or a bland theism. We're thinking here about God's work of shepherding over his people. But God shows us, declares to us here, that it will be David's son that is the shepherd. It is the son of David. It is David's greater son who sits on David's throne. It is none other than Jesus Christ who is the shepherd. We shouldn't think about God in an impersonal way. We say things like the triune God. There's a sense in which that's redundant, is it not? Because the true and living God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. But why do we say that? It's because we need to express carefully the language about God. We need to speak carefully. And it's also a way of reminding ourselves the truth about God, about who God is, right? Our Heavenly Father cares for our needs. It's not wrong to speak of God providing for us. But what does Jesus teach us in the Sermon on the Mount? He's moving us beyond an impersonal view of God when he says, "It's your Father in heaven that provides for you. It is your Heavenly Father who provides for you, who cares for you. And in the same way, I think in Ezekiel, the scripture is pushing us away from a bare or a bland way of looking at God when we think of him as our shepherd, because it is Christ who is our shepherd. It is Jesus. He is the Son of David, who sits on David's throne, who is set up over God's people as the shepherd. He is the one who has done the work of redemption. So much so that as the New Testament writers look back and as they reflect upon God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt, they attribute that to the Son of God. Look at Jude. Let's look at a couple of verses. Jude and verse 5. As Jude is reflecting upon God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt, notice what he says. I said earlier that when God led Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness, providing for them, feeding them, giving them food and drink, he's doing what a shepherd does. But notice what Jude says in verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt. Your translation might say the Lord there, which is another way that the New Testament speaks of Jesus. When Jude reflects upon God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt, he's not thinking of God in an impersonal way. He's attributing that work of deliverance to the Son of God. So does Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 9. What does Paul say here? As he's talking about Israel and how they are an example of unbelief and we should not be like Israel, he says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 10, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did. Again, he's reflecting upon God's work of deliverance, bringing Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land, but he's not thinking of God in an impersonal way. He says, they put Christ to the test. What's the point? The point is that when we think of God shepherding us, we should not think of that in an impersonal way, because who is the shepherd of Psalm 23? I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10, Christ says. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep who was raised from the dead, Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Jesus is the shepherd of souls, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. Jesus is the chief shepherd over his church, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Jesus is the shepherd who guides his people to springs of living water, Revelation 7 and verse 17. Christ is the shepherd who leads us, who feeds us, and who gives us rest. If you look back there in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, David says. Notice he doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. Now that's true. The Lord is a shepherd, objectively, in the sense of what he is to his people. But that's not what David says. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's no comfort in the knowledge that Christ is a shepherd unless he is your shepherd. Unless he's your shepherd. Unless you have appropriated Christ by faith, unless he has become your shepherd. So long as a person remains outside of Christ, all that Christ has done, all that he has accomplished, all his work of redemption, it means nothing to one who is outside of Christ. It's of no value to them. It's useless. Now, this little word, my, the Lord is my shepherd, this shows the excellence of faith that has embraced the promises of God in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. What Christ is, he is to me. All that Christ is, he is for me. The Lord is my shepherd. A sheep can only live through the help, the protection, and the care of their shepherd. To be away from the shepherd is to be exposed to danger. A sheep are weak and silly creatures. If you've ever been around them, you've probably observed that. Now, there is a reason that Scripture uses this imagery for those who depend upon the shepherd. But it's through the shepherd's care that sheep form the habit of keeping near the shepherd, because they instinctively know and trust that by keeping close to the shepherd, they find happiness, they find security. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. There is no comfort in the knowledge that Christ is a shepherd unless he is your shepherd. And we see how David reasons. What must be true if Christ is my shepherd? I shall not want. Here's the biblical reasoning. If Jesus is my shepherd, I shall have no lack. I shall have no want. This is a proper conclusion that is drawn from the truth of who Christ is and what therefore must be true of me if Christ is my shepherd. If Christ is mine, I shall not want. I shall have no lack. Those who can say Christ is my shepherd have all they need for comfort in life and in death. There is no lack. There's no want. Those who can say Christ is my shepherd have all they need for comfort in life and in death. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism, question 1, asks this very question. What is my only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Those who have Christ for their shepherd have no lack. They have all they need for comfort in life and in death. Fully satisfied for all my sins. Wealth takes wings and flies away. Those who enjoy the favor of the rich, the powerful, they're often the first to feel the displeasure of those same people. Heroes are soon forgotten. Health wastes away. Relationships in life are broken by circumstance or ultimately in death. But to have your sins forgiven in Christ, to know that you can with confidence appear before Christ in judgment, what could be better than that? What is of more comfort in life and in death? And that's not all. He delivers from the power of the devil. He preserves me, so much so that not even a hair falls from my head without my Father in heaven. All things must work together for my salvation. And by his Spirit, he assures me of this life that he has given me. And not only that, he makes me willing and ready to live for him, to follow him, to listen to his voice. There is no lack if Christ is your shepherd. We notice there in verse number 1 of Psalm 23, it is the Lord who is my shepherd. It is Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah, the self-existent and the all-sufficient God, the I am that I am from Exodus. The one who as God has all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in himself. He's perfect man as man, and he's the infinite God as God. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a fitting conclusion. It's a right conclusion then that I shall not want, that there can be no lack, that I have all that I need in life and in death, that I do not lack for comfort, because this one is my shepherd. What use is this text to us? If it is true that in Christ we have everything we need for comfort in life and in death, how is it that you could be discontent with his shepherding? over your life and in your life. You know, the truth is, sheep don't always know what's good for them. That's why they need a shepherd. They need guidance. They need direction. If I shall not want means that Christ gives me whatever it is that I need, if this means that I have no lack if He is my shepherd, then if I'm desiring something I don't have, there are some things I must conclude. First, it could be it is not good for me because it's morally wrong and I should not be desiring it. You know, quite often we desire things and Christ does not give them. It could be that what we are desiring is actually morally wrong, and therefore I should not be desiring it. It could be that it's not good for me because it would not benefit me. Not that it's necessarily wrong. In fact, it could be good for others. It's just not good for me. The Lord, in His wisdom, has not thought it good for me. Or we might conclude it's not good for me at this time. Perhaps some other time in another way. The point is, we ought not to be discontent with the Lord shepherding in our life. Why is it that you don't trust your shepherd? Has he failed you at some point? Has he neglected you? Has he taken advantage of you? Has he harmed you, as those false shepherds there in Israel? Now, Christ is not like those shepherds. He is faithful. He is true. He is always doing what is good and what is right. He's a perfect shepherd. Why then be discontent with the shepherding of your Lord? Why do you lack comfort from His shepherding? It could be that you lack comfort from Christ because He's not really your shepherd. Why is it that I feel no comfort from Christ? Why is it that I'm not content with His shepherding? Well, it could be because He's not your shepherd. What are the marks of His sheep? John 10, there the Lord says, as He declares that He is the good shepherd, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. They feed where He leads them. They follow Him." Christ's flock is fed and nurtured by feeding on the bread of life. What is the food that the sheep eat? Well, it's Christ Himself. He is the bread of life. He's not only the shepherd, but He's actually also that which sustains His sheep. He is the bread of life. His sheep feed on Him. Now, this means, or this reminds us, brings to mind perhaps of what Paul said when he was writing to the Corinthians, where he said, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We preach Christ crucified, Paul says. For Paul, Christ was the sermon. Christ wasn't something that he was adding to the sermon. It wasn't something that came at the end of the sermon necessarily. No, Christ was Paul's sermon. We preach Christ crucified. I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. Because the sheep need Christ. It is on Him that they live. It is on Him that they are fed. What is it that you are hungry for? We thought about that question this morning. What are you hungry for? What are you desiring? What are you seeking? What does your soul long for? Is it the bread of life? "Man shall not live by bread alone," our shepherd says, "but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's not some different God than Jesus. "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me." Where is it that they hear His voice? It's here. The word doesn't merely point us to Christ. The word is Christ speaking to us. It is the voice of our shepherd. It is Christ speaking. And if you find no comfort in Christ, is it possible that you're not His sheep? This is a question that you need to ask. "But I'm here, aren't I? I'm with Christ's flock. I'm hearing Christ's voice." This is where he's heard. This is where I'm at. But why are you here? Why are you here? Is it because you delight in Christ? Is it because you seek to live by his word? Is it because you need him? Is that why you're here? There's all kinds of reasons that people attend church. But are you here for Christ? Is this why you're here? Is this what you're hungry for? Is this what you recognize is your need? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. If Christ is not your shepherd, you should know that he is here for you. Even as his word goes forth this night, it goes forth with power. It goes forth that calls those who are yet outside the flock to come to him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. It may also be the case that you lack comfort because you doubt the shepherd's character. One can imagine a day where the shepherd is firmly driving the sheep ahead of him. The sheep are feeling weary. Perhaps they don't understand why the shepherd seems to be in such a hurry. And in their angst, they begin to forget how the shepherd has sacrificed for them, how he's cared for them. They forget all the times that he's proven to be faithful, that he's cared for them. And they begin to pit his gentleness against his firm leadership, as though he can't be both at the same time. Discomfort opens a door to unbelief. And they begin to doubt the goodness of the shepherd and his intent for them because of the circumstance he is leading them through. We ought not to doubt the shepherd's character. We may not understand what it is he's doing. We may not understand why it is that he's leading and shepherding us in the way that he is. But we cannot doubt his character. Because this is the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. We've just come from Psalm 22, where we see this very thing. Christ laying down his life for the sheep. And as we see him pick up his pastoral duties as the head of his church in Psalm 23, which is what he anticipated on the cross, as he hung there on the cross, looking forward to the joy that was before him, shepherding his people. The ground of our confidence is that he is the one who laid down his life for us, and we ought not to doubt him. Now, Christ must lay down his life in order to be the shepherd of souls. He must redeem them. He must buy them back. He must purchase their salvation. Psalm 22 precedes Psalm 23 for a reason. Because before Christ can pick up the duties of his office as the shepherd over his flock, he must lay down his life. And in a way, this relates to us, because in order for us to know the goodness of the shepherd's care, in order for us to enjoy the comfort that this brings, we must also bear our crosses. We must also suffer. We are called to follow our Lord in suffering. And quite often it is only through the suffering of the cross that we come to enjoy the comfort of the shepherd's care. Do not doubt the shepherd's character. He is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep. Greater love, he says, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. May the Lord our shepherd grant us confidence in his care for us, such that our firm confession ever shall be, in Christ I shall not want, in life or in death. Amen. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you, Son, that you are our shepherd, and that you are the good shepherd who has laid down his life for us. We thank you, Spirit, that you have brought us not only to see these things objectively, but to know them in our experience, that Christ is our shepherd, that all that he is for us. We know the tender care of our shepherd. We thank you, God, for your kindness, for your grace, and for your mercy. And we pray that you would help us as we grow in our confidence, as we follow our shepherd wherever it is that he leads us. Amen.